everybody. This week of Fun and Films, talk about Aladdin.
Hit the music.
Let's make some magic.
Hello, everybody. I'm Michael Flaherty.
I'm Colleen Flaherty.
And this is Flaherty's on Films, a podcast about the best movies ever.
This week, we're talking about Aladdin, a fan-requested film by Michael Flaherty.
Yes.
Michael, why did you pick this film?
Because I just fucking love it. It's a great film of the Renaissance era of Disney films, as they are called. I mean, it's a film from my childhood, but I also think it's an expertly constructed movie. Many plot holes, but you know, there's a lot of dimensions of quality, as they say. Yeah, we both saw this movie recently. What were your impressions on this latest watch of the film?
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I've seen this film a lot.
Yeah, you can never really have a fresh viewing again.
And stands up. It is a quality film. It is hard when you watch it a lot. You really see the plot holes, and that can be distracting at times. But it is just delightful. It is a fun watch. Michael, what was your first impression of this
film? I came into this recent viewing knowing, like, okay, I fucking love this film. I'm going to have a blast. But I never really, I don't know if I've ever really thought about why I like it. And it's, I just like the characters a lot. That's what I thought this time. Jasmine's cool. I mean, maybe someone more knowledgeable in feminist theory was like, oh, all the lady characters of that era were trying to be like, oh, a papoo, I'm a lady, and I take charge. But I like her. That's my point. Does that make any sense, what I just said?
That makes perfect sense.
And Aladdin is, like, cocky and dumb, and he's got a character arc, and he's fun. And I don't like Gilbert Gottfried at all, but him and Jafar is just the best pair.
I mean, the relationships are really what makes it. I actually think the friendship between the genie and Aladdin is probably the emotional core of the movie.
We're going to talk about that more after our first segment. Bam!
Time for Sam!
Where our cousin Samantha gives us some awesome facts about the film. Go ahead, Samantha.
In 1988, a musical writer, also known as a lyricist, Howard Ashman wrote a film treatment inspired by the tale of Aladdin. It's kind of confusing where the original tale of Aladdin comes from. It was added to the collection of stories called A Book of 1001 Nights and Arabian Nights by some French dude. So apparently the original story was actually not Arabic, but Chinese.
Whoa.
Ashman would partner with Alan Menken on a few songs, but Disney would basically shut them down. They're just like, we're not going to work on this project. However, the script was revamped in 1991. It was kind of like, you can work on any of these three shelved projects, and they picked Aladdin. The writers would work on the Ashman script before presenting it to the head of Disney, Jeffrey Katzenberg. In a day that would be dubbed Black Friday in the Disney world, Katzenberg demanded a complete rewrite of the whole script without changing the premiere date. The whole script had to be redone from scratch in 8 days.
What?
So let's talk a little bit about the characters. The character of Aladdin was originally inspired by Michael J. Fox, but they found him to be a little too cutesy and not dynamic enough.
I know actually, what dynamic means.
It means hot. So one of the quotes I actually read was that they had like Jasmine kind of figured out, and they were like, Jasmine's more of a character than Aladdin. You need to like figure out him. So during the rewrite, they got inspiration from some hot volleyball. That's right. They watched Top Gun, specifically Tom Cruise. To quote the character's supervising animator, Glenn Keane, I got the film, I looked at him, and what I noticed was all of his poses, his attitudes. There was this confidence, the way his chest stuck out.
Oh, yeah.
There was a cockiness to him.
Yeah.
And Aladdin, we wanted to have a little bit of that edge on him.
We are nodding vigorously. Just want the people at home to know.
Yeah, it doesn't play well on radio.
I also had this other quote. I didn't write it down, but it was really cute. It was from Scott, who is the voice of Aladdin, and he's like,
"Wait, isn't Scott just the character's name on Full House?"
No, Steve's the character's name. Oh. I always remembered because it's my brother's.
Gotcha. That's cute.
Yeah. So Scott said, like, when he would get in there, he would, like, take his shirt off and be like, "Aha, I'm Aladdin," and just, like, get really into it.
That's very cute.
You also need a pretty cool villain, and so they had Jafar. And interestingly enough, they found inspiration for their villain from Maleficent. You might recognize a lot of similarities between the two. Kind of the outfits a little bit, kind of the drapings, the staffs that they walk with, the fact that they have a bird often perched on them, just different things about that. So they pulled a lot from Maleficent, who is actually considered Disney's number one villain. And after this movie came out and like in current rankings, Jafar is ranked number two.
What's ranking is this?
What is this list?
It's the Disney list. I don't know.
Just the one. Oh,
like, Disney's just like, we have a list.
It's been decided. Can't change that.
So she's ranked number one and he's ranked number two for greatest Disney.
Some people think differently, but they're factually incorrect.
They are very wrong, apparently. So would you guys like to hear some famous names that were considered for the role?
Of Aladdin? Sure.
No. This is for Jafar.
Oh, okay.
Tim Curry.
We are all animals, my lady.
Oh, that would have been good.
Kelsey Grammer.
Yes, only I could have executed such a masterpiece of electoral fraud.
Would have been good.
John Hurt.
I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
Okay, that's a guy.
Christopher Lloyd.
Since I've had Toontown under my jurisdiction, my goal has been to rein in the insanity, and the only way to do that is to make Toons respect the law.
Too fun.
Ian McKellen.
You must be Wolverine. That remarkable metal doesn't run through your entire body, does it?
Okay.
And only because of scheduling conflicts with Star Trek The Next Generation, Patrick Stewart had to turn it down, but he has said it's his biggest regret.
Look at me. I've got girl boobs.
I gotta say, I was shocked at how little the voice actor for Jafar has done, given how perfect his performance
is. It's possible that the current voice actor is better than all of those choices, which is crazy.
Now, Pussycat, tell me more about myself.
We would have enjoyed all those people, but...
Yeah, but it's just the guy who does Jafar is fucking 10 out of 10.
Michael, I cannot disagree.
So we have Aladdin, we have Jafar. Now we need to talk about the genie. The genie was written specifically with Robin Williams in mind. However, they weren't convinced they could actually get him. At this point, he's a big star. And at this time, big stars don't do voice work. It's kind of looked down upon as a lesser art.
Shrek hadn't come out yet.
Exactly. So they were kind
of like 8 years, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know when Shrek came out.
2001.
Toy Story is like stacked with stars. Anyway, that's later. Go on.
That's a good point, Colleen.
That's a good point. Yes. But at this point, like, it's not like a big thing. So they went back to actually some of Williams' older comedy albums, and animator Eric Goldberg animated the genie doing several minutes of the Williams stand-up. Then they brought in Williams to show him their animation, and according to Goldberg, quote, "I think what really sold him was the one where he says, 'Tonight, let's talk about the serious subject of schizophrenia.' No, it doesn't. Shut up. Let him talk." What I did is animate the genie growing another head to argue with himself, and Robin just laughed. He could see the potential of what the character could do. I'm sure it wasn't the only factor, but then he signed the dotted line.
I think this might be a controversial opinion, because I do think he has a respectable body work, but I think this was Robin Williams' best role. I mean, he's so perfect for this kind of thing.
He is pretty phenomenal. And actually, my next bunch of facts are just about him, and they're probably well-known facts, but they're really worth saying just because he's so awesome. So Robin Williams improvised so much, they actually had 16 hours worth of materials. And in fact, he ad-libbed so many of his lines that the script was rejected for best adapted screenplay because it wasn't actually cohesive with this movie. So even like the opening scene. So the opening scene of this movie is a merchant who's trying to basically shop or TV, get you to buy stuff. And so what they did is they just had a table full of stuff with a sheet over it in the studio. And they brought Williams in, no script, and just gave him a microphone and pulled the sheet off. And then he just went to town trying to sell them these things. And they just created that scene completely around him. Apparently, he went on for a long time. They have a lot of material from it, and most of the material is not appropriate for kids' movies. So, like Goldberg would later say, Robin spoiled us with choice. We would go in with the 3 script pages and come out with about 4 hours worth of material. So, what they kind of said would happen is he was great at impressions of celebrities. And so they would have like a line for him and he would do like 5 different versions of different celebrities saying that line. And then they would just go back and look at that line and see which of the celebrities made them laugh the most and put that one in. So yeah, he did like over 60 different characters or different impressions. And
that's awesome.
So, yeah. So Robin Williams did the voice of the genie at union scale rate, which is the lowest legal pay rate a studio can give an actor. At this time, Robin Williams was going for about $8 million a movie, and he only got, I think it was $75,000, just for understanding. Like, he super got underpaid. And the reason he did that is because he knew that he was going to be a minor character in this movie, and he didn't want his name to be used for advertisement. He didn't want Disney to basically use him and his brand to promote this movie.
Oh, you sweet summer child. What did you think was going to happen?
So he had it like basically, you know, he didn't want to take up more than 25% of the space in posters, ads, billboards, or the trailer. And he also didn't want his voice used in toys. Disney didn't do that, obviously.
That kid in the 90s will tell you.
Disney, like, made this a genie movie, even though he is technically a side character. And Williams was livid. He made some, like, jokes about, like, how Disney or Mickey Mouse only has 3 fingers so he can't pick up the check or something. Like, he was mad. And they made a direct-to-sequel film of Aladdin called Aladdin the Return of Jafar, and he refused to be in it, so he had to be replaced with Dan Castellan or Castellan.
Homer Simpson.
Thank you very much. And he just basically just was pissed at Disney and didn't want to work with him for a long time, and he didn't again until the head of Disney was replaced, and they had to do so much apologizing to him before he would come back for the 3rd Aladdin movie.
The Prince of
the King of Thieves. Yep.
I haven't seen that in a while.
It's good. It's on Disney Plus. So like they had to do like a whole public apology. So there's a lot of pushback on that just because like he was so offended that Disney kind of just like went back on their promises, and they flat out said too, like, yeah, we did do that.
Whoopsie.
Our bad. So this movie was released in theaters and would become the most popular Disney film of all time for 2 years until Lion King kicked it out, but at the time was a big deal. It became the 14th film of all time, but more importantly, the first
14th what of 14th all time?
Highest grossing. No. Hold on. It became the 14th film of all time, first animated, to gross more than $200 million.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't finish my sentence yet. Gotcha. So it is the first animated film to do that. And it was highly grossing of the year. It did make the top 10 highest grossing films of the year 1992. And your question of the week is, where on the top 10 list did it rank in highest grossing films of 1992?
I don't know. It came out in 92.
Oh, don't worry. I will give you some other ones on the top 10 list. The Bodyguard. Wayne's World. A Few Good Men.
Okay, I already have my answer. Don't tell me.
Lethal Weapon 3. Sister Act.
My guess is 6.
4.
Aladdin came in number 1.
Whoa. Whoa.
It was the number 1 highest grossing worldwide.
Good job, Al.
A Few Good Men is so good. But I get it.
I get it. Yeah.
Aladdin is given a lot of credit for being the reason why famous actors like to do voiceover roles now. So beforehand, like we kind of talked about, most films, when you would have animations, would use voice actors who normally are just voice actors and not physical actors. I don't know the other word.
Disney liked to use unknowns a lot, especially in their lead roles. Like, they made a point of it.
Yeah, but it's not even just Disney. Like, it's just not been a main thing. But with Robin Williams specifically being such a big name and being such a big role, like, the genie is such a character that it became a popular trend. And now it's hard to find a animated film that doesn't have a high name celebrity in it.
Which I personally hate.
Yeah, like, it's a little ridiculous. So there is this website called voices.com. It's the trade site for voiceover artists. And they asked the question of, does this lessen the role of it? Like, is it taking away because they're having all these famous actors come in to do these movies? And the consensus was that no, celebrities actually raised the profession to a new level, making voiceovers a more recognized career choice and perhaps even elevating the pay scale long term. Okay. So overall,
for the celebrities who are in the roles.
Well, there are more people involved in the voiceover world than just the headliners of some of these animated movies.
I don't like
it.
I don't like it.
Okay.
I'm against
it. PR answer, Michael. Just let it go.
All right.
That's all I got for you guys today.
That was Bam. Time for Sam. And now...
Michael, can you imagine a world where we don't have direct VFX equals?
I would shit myself. Now we're going to go to our next segment, Critics Corner, where we talk about what the critics have to say about this film.
That is so gross.
I will go first. This is from Dwayne Berg from The Hollywood Reporter. The magical, the mystical, the mysterious, all those powers that lurk within movies but are rarely tapped or unleashed in Disney's latest magnificent animation, Aladdin.
This is from Rick, Amazon reviewer. Right. With the wonderful success of Beauty and the Beast, a movie I truly admire for being something original from Disney, which is very rare since the death of Walt. This movie is almost an exact same copy of Beauty.
Huh.
Basically, I'm talking about the music score. If you hear the music carefully, you'll notice that most of the songs are the same songs in Beauty, but just altered enough just to give it a slight difference. This is because the talent that comes from Disney is nothing like it used to be when Walt ran the business.
Huh.
Who likes Snow White more than they like Aladdin?
Losers, yeah.
So this movie is pretty poor in my estimations. There's nothing original. Save your money, folks. It's not worth the plastic it was recorded on.
What the? Wow. Wow, that is harsh. I don't agree with that review. This is from Michael Skraugau from The New Yorker. What makes this animated feature such intense, giddy fun is the eruption of uninhibited parody that Robin Williams provides as the voice of the genie in Aladdin's lamp.
Do you agree with that?
Yes. He has, it's definitely an eruption for sure.
I'm appalled by all the positive reviews. This movie sends the worst message to children. Whoa. Please, everyone, strip away the visuals, the catchy music, and look carefully at the storyline.
Okay.
It's about a poor boy who has big dreams, but rather than trying to work his way up, he resorts to stealing.
Oh, no. That's no good.
Apparently, the only way one can succeed his life is by finding a magic genie in a bottle.
That's what the movie says explicitly.
It does. But worst of them all is the princess. She's a rich, spoiled girl who's bored to death, complaining about her life while ignoring the street children eating out of trash cans outside her palace walls. There are never any indication that these two did anything to help anybody else but themselves. Shame on you, Disney.
I'm glad someone was brave enough to call him out. This is from Desmond Ryan, Philadelphia Inquirer. Forget about the lamp. Aladdin is all anyone could wish for in this holiday entertainment.
Okay, I have to tell you, there weren't a ton of one-star reviews. There was one that said this was supposed to come with Return of Jafar and did one star, which I thought was interesting. This one, I'm just so confused.
All right, let's go for it.
I was seriously disturbed by this film. Whoever wrote this must have been a deeply deranged individual with a really sick mind, because some of the scenes in this movie are just downright despicable and gross.
Totally. I totally get that. Oh, when they're singing, oh man, they get sick sometimes. Clay, what's your favorite part of the film?
Can we do least favorite first?
Clay, what's your least favorite part? What's your least favorite part?
So, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. What are you going to do?
I know.
Turn it off.
I'm sorry. Oh. But this movie's a little racist.
It's podcast over. This sucks.
It's crazy that they couldn't have one Middle Eastern actor in this whole thing. That's weird. And, you know, you gotta have to, you notice that all of the, and Sam even kind of touched on it, all the lead hottie characters have classic European features, all the evil guys.
He's got big eyebrows, he's got a big nose.
Like Tom Cruise?
Is Tom Cruise Middle Eastern? I guess that's my question.
That's the real question.
No, I'm kind of serious, though. I feel like Aladdin looks Middle Eastern. He's not white. Okay.
Yeah, it's true. I think, well, the worst part is that, like, all the bad guys are kind of, like, over-the-top caricatures of Middle Eastern people.
Yeah.
It's not great. That's all I'm saying. It's not... Obviously, it was a different time. But... And, you know, it's not like I wouldn't want... Robin Williams made this film, so I don't want another actor to do that role. So, it just wasn't a... It was a pretty whitewashed version of one of these kind of stories. Is that fair?
Nope. My least favorite part, it's hard to think about it because I really like the film. I think we have both said that there are plot holes in this movie. I think there are even thematic holes. Like, they make a point that all the characters feel trapped. And I don't know, that feels pretty flimsy. I don't feel like Aladdin's like, oh man, I just feel so trapped right now. Like, I feel like he should say, I am hungry. I think that's all he should say.
He's trapped in a cycle of poverty that they don't really explore very much.
Yeah, they cut him off. He didn't say the whole thing.
I mean, I don't know why he can't get a job, but I'm sure it's for sad reasons and not lazy reasons, because, you know.
But, like, it's weird how much the film does wrong, and yet it's an A-plus film. Like, it's crazy.
There's so many plot holes, and I, like, don't care. I mean, I notice them more the more you watch it. And sometimes it's, like, a little distracting, but I can't even put it as my least favorite part, because I just don't care.
What's your favorite part?
Why is he lying? He is a prince. I don't get it.
What's your favorite part?
I could pick one.
Yeah.
I love the characters and the friendships. I love the songs. I love Robin Williams and I love Jafar. I love the voice actor, just Jafar. I love everything about the character. Every single line delivery is an A+. He chews the scenery. He is amazing. That's all my things.
I mean, here's how good he is. I'm happy it was not Patrick Stewart. That's how good it is. I would never say that in any other scenario.
I know that about you. What was your favorite part?
This is going to sound like a lie, but it's the truth. This film, I really like traditional 2D animation, and I think it allows for some of the moments of this film to have, like, the best colors. When this movie is blue, it's fucking blue. When it's, like, orange... Holy fuck, it is orange. Do you know what I mean?
That's not your favorite part, you fucking liar.
I am actually...
Your favorite part is how blue it is?
I really like the colors. So in, like, modern 3D animations, because it's more realistically lit, everything is, like, shaded realistically. So, like, you don't just get, like, full, like, swabs of, like, the screen is blue. Like, here's how it is. You know what I mean? You just, the animation in general, like the expressions, the genie, especially just the artfulness of the look of this film is fucking amazing.
Good favorite part. I was interested that Sam didn't bring this up because I always thought Lion King was the first Disney movie to like really do computer animation, but they clearly did some in this movie that was a little distracting. Or was that a re-release thing?
No, that was in the original. They the carpet, the magic carpet, had to be all computer animated.
Right. Yeah. The carpet and the Cave of Wonders head, like it wasn't
the escape
all over the
scene
place.
Head. Yeah. Even the sand, I could tell, was a little bit.
But it looked great. Sometimes it looked a bit.
I've never watched this film. I have a big TV now with like good definition. I watched on Disney Plus. It's like weird. Like you really see the computer animation.
Yeah.
But you
right?
also really see this time I really noticed the actual drawings. Like I saw this film as the first time, like I can actually see that somebody drew this, which was really bizarre.
Stop bragging about your TV.
Okay, and now we're gonna talk.
Michael, before we summarize, what's your favorite song?
You know what? It's a Whole New World, which is crazy because like this movie has been a part of my life for my whole life. And I've heard that song maybe a million times and I feel like I should be sick of it, but it's good. It's good in the film.
I love that song. It is the best.
You know what I actually super fucking love? So in the soundtrack, because whatever, in the soundtrack of Aladdin, like if you hear A Whole New World just as a track on a CD, it starts with a like piano part that goes dun 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 dun. Yeah, but in the movie it doesn't do that. There's like the scene is Jasmine. He's like, "Do you trust me?" And she's like, "Yes." And then they get on the carpet, and then the music of that till the actual song starts is so good. It's so beautiful. I think the song is great in the film just because the moment is so good, too.
That's really good.
And may I reiterate, fucking the colors are good. That's not a bit. Go ahead.
So the two people who sang the song weren't the actual actors, the voice actors, shockingly enough.
I get that.
Yeah. But the first time that the two singers met was right before they sang that song. So they like were like, "Hi, nice to meet you." Romantic song.
I remember a fact about that actor who plays Aladdin. We're like, yeah, I got all this advice about auditioning. And I heard if they ask you if you're able to sing, you should just say yes. So I was like, yeah, I could sing. And then after their audition, they're like, yeah, you could just be the voice.
I remember that from the special edition 10th anniversary DVD of Aladdin.
Because we're losers. Do you want to talk through the film, the summary?
I would so love to. Let me start.
All right.
So Sam already mentioned how the movie opens up with a merchant. Basically just Robin Williams doing shit.
We're doing the whole movie. Go ahead.
I come from land. Okay, sorry. That's a great song too. They're all good songs.
I love that song.
I know it's a little bit racist, but it's
why is it a little bit racist? I think it's the least racist song. It's the only song in the whole film that kind of sounds Middle Eastern to me.
Oh, that's a good point, actually. So anyway, yeah, Robin Williams, he's like doing shtick and he's like, "Oh, I see you're only interested in the exceptionally rare." And he brings out a lamp, which, by the way, there's a lot of lines in this movie about how, oh, it's just a dingy beat up lamp. But like, when I'm a kid, I don't know what an oil lamp is. That thing looks awesome. That thing looks pretty.
They should have said, "Oh, it's just a lamp," and then turn to the camera, which is a normal thing in this culture.
Yeah, that would have been really helpful.
Yeah. They didn't do that. So cowards.
Then the best line is when he tells the story about the lamp. He goes, "It begins on a dark night. And a dark man with a dark purpose."
So then we get the scene of Jafar and Hazim, who is a guy. And they are approaching. They're
is it Hazim, not Kazim? Am I dumb?
I actually don't remember what it is. Kazim, Hazim. They're similar names. They open up the Cave of Wonders. They have this bug that goes into two pieces. It's gold, and they put it together. And oh no, they've opened the cave. Jafar says,
"The rest of the treasure is yours, but the lamp is mine."
So yeah, the lion head. He eats him up, and he gets stuck in the cave or whatever. And Jafar goes, "Obviously, he was not worthy." And then he goes,
"Obviously, Kazim was less than worthy.
And then Gilbert Godfrey is like, oh, he wasn't worthy. Oh, I'm so surprised. I'm going to have a heart attack and die. I'm not surprised.
Their friendship is so cute because they're like so they're opposites, but they also love each other. It's so great. Makes me happy for the world. And then Jafar goes, I must find this wand, this diamond in the rough.
And then cut to Aladdin.
Oh, this for a loaf of bread?
That is the first line reading.
Yeah, we're doing the whole film.
And it's like sexy halfsy shirt.
Vest. Sorry, we see the nips.
Vest is a real word. I don't know. I couldn't think of that one. So yeah, he's forced to steal, which I guess like the weird thing about this movie is it like has so many flaws that I don't want them to fix because like I think it would make it a worse movie.
Like what?
Which actually we saw with the remake.
What do you mean?
Like, why is he forced to steal? He seems very clever and educated and like surely he could find a job.
Nope, he's trapped.
We don't know anything about the society, but he kind of implies that he has to steal, but we don't know why.
He could,
but who gives a shit?
Right, he could be selling fish.
Fresh fish, we catch them, you buy them.
I mean, they demonstrate that there's a viable job there.
Right. So, yeah, he does his One Jump song, which is also a great song.
Also really good
song.
And
it's how I, as an 8-year-old, learned what a nom de plume is.
I still don't know.
It's a pen name is the literal translation. So it's your author name.
Oh, nice.
So that's a really fun bit. And they steal the bread, but he gives it to some kids. So we know he's a good guy.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when he says his first line, all this for a loaf of bread, he's already so likable. I just want to hang out with him. Line one. Like, you did it, Disney. One line, and I'm in. I love this character.
Like, it is reasonable for police officers to chase someone.
No, fuck you. It is not. He's Aladdin.
Let me finish.
Okay, go.
Let me finish.
All right. I've got
upset. But
I got
never once thought that when I'm watching this because, like, they're so bumbling and evil. Oh, is this the part of it where Abu picks up a sword? And then.
You idiots. We've all got swords. I mean, that might be a line. I don't know.
That might be exactly the line. So anyway.
Cut to our B plot, which stars at the palace because we are in the great...
Oh, I'm not done with the A plot, Michael.
Oh, what happens next?
So he gives bread to kids, sure. And then he like wishes that he could live in a palace and be powerful.
Someday, Abu will be rich
and
live in a palace.
Reprise,
we'll
you know?
No problems at all.
Can you just sing a little bit of that?
Riff raff, street rat. I don't buy that. That's what he says.
Oh, so good. Anyway, then cut to our B plot with Princess Jasmine, who's mad.
Did I establish, though, that we live in the magical city of Agrabah, which is a fun city? I mean, if you're watching this as an 8-year-old, you just want to go to Agrabah.
Right. If you don't think about, like, the devastating poverty and...
Yeah, that's not fun. But, like, I want to go to Disneyland and have it all just be Agrabah. I want to play an Aladdin video
game. In a fun way, not in a sad poverty way.
Right. Like, you know, I want to see people walking on coals and selling me fish and stuff.
Obviously.
I mean,
in
I...
a very, very culturally sensitive way.
Yeah. The B plot, so yeah, there's all the little poor people, little, and then there's the big palace, and we are introduced to our characters, who's the Sultan and the Sultan's daughter, Jasmine, and the...
Sultan seems like a shit king. Also, I have seen this movie 8 million times, and I forgot that the line is... You have to find someone to marry in 3 days? What a weird, tight deadline that never comes up again.
I like his line, though. It's like, also, I'm old, you know. Why don't you be taken?
Yeah, like, I don't really care about this law stuff.
He is the worst character, for sure.
Oh, totally.
I mean, not bad. I like the voice actor does him. He has a cool voice, I think.
But he seems like a real shit Sultan, but who cares?
Yeah, anyway, so Jasmine, yeah, needs to find a prince to marry because of the law. That, obviously, the Sultan could change the law at any moment, but that's, her plot. She needs to find a man, but man, she just feels trapped. She wants to marry for love, goddammit. And, while just thinking about this, she looks at a birdcage and goes, whoa. And then she opens the birdcage and watches them all fly out, and she's like, oh, it's a metaphor for me.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, see, it's called...
He's like a bird in a cage
and then
who
she,
wants to be free.
And then she mouths, it's like me, I'm a bird. That cuts probably, so, it cuts to a Jafar scene probably at that point.
Oh, when he's finding the diamond in the rough with the emerald ring?
Yeah. Ah, fuck. I can't remember the line that Gilbert Gottfried said. But can't we just wait for a real storm? Something like that.
Foster Yago! So yeah, so anyway, Jasmine's out in the town. She's having fun in her fake peasant clothes, but still has all her jewels on. So it's not that inconspicuous.
Did you say she escaped?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
She's about out and about in the town.
Okay, I feel like we just jumped there, but okay.
We did. I jumped.
Okay.
And she sees a poor kid who wants an apple, so she gives him an apple. And then
okay, I get that she is not accustomed to Agrabah life, but like, things cost money. I mean, you got to understand that basic principle.
Why would she understand that basic principle if she had never left the palace? That is not crazy to me that she doesn't understand commerce.
I think it's just absurd. I think this cartoon movie needs to sort some stuff out.
So then this guy goes, oh, you stole that? Do you know what the penalty is for stealing? And he's going to cut off her hand. Because I think that was a thing sometimes.
What?
And then Aladdin comes in, and how cute is Aladdin, Mikey? Tell
so
us what
fucking
happens.
Cute. Oh, so, I'm so glad you found her. Oh, she is my sister. I have been looking all over for you. What do you know? Oh, just play along. Well, don't worry. No harm, no foul. I'm just going to grab an apple with my foot. Oh, here's the apple she stole. Now we'll just be on their way. That's a very cute scene, because you just like both of those characters. They have chemistry, those two characters.
And they're both charming, and we learn that Princess Jasmine does think on her feet, despite being kind of a dummy.
Yeah,
so
I'll just do some more classic bits. Aladdin's like, all right, let's go see the doctor. And then they walk over to a camel. She goes, why, hello, doctor. No, not that one. It's
so cute.
They're both so likable. Oh. They're so fun. You want them to be together so badly. And here's how the scene ends. They are romantically just looking at the palace, and they're expressing that they're trapped. But oh no, some guards come up and they're like, wait, oh no, they're after me. They're after you. And then Aladdin goes famous, like, do you trust me? And then she's like, yes. And then they both jump into a sand dune and then they run away. But then, oh no, the guards capture Aladdin. And then Jasmine's like, release him. And they're like, haha, release him by order of the princess. She reveals that she's the princess. And Aladdin goes, what? The princess Jasmine. And the guard's like, I would, but I got orders from Jafar. You gotta have words with him. And she goes, oh, believe me, I will.
Or something like
that. I don't remember exactly what happens.
Why does Jafar outrank her? I mean, I believe that it's
a woman.
That checks actually.
Yeah, she's speechless.
So important note for people who haven't seen this film, Jafar is the royal vizier, which is like just a top political advisor.
I feel like he's the royal vizier.
The royal vizier. Well, that would be me.
I mean, it's also, I think sometimes there's a bit of a lack. I don't know why, but in the palace, every palace scene, there's like only three people max. There's nobody working in that palace.
There's the guards. I mean, what are they? You don't have the guards. There should be like a janitor.
I don't know, man. I just feel like even in Frozen, when they like hold up the palace, there's still like people around.
Well, yeah, when you got computers to render that shit, you just type like add an extra person. You know what I mean?
Is that what's like?
I would know. That's what you do. But they gotta draw every person. It's like, you know, I don't think anyone has to be in the palace or in this area.
So yeah, then Jasmine goes to Jafar because she said she would, and she's like, where the fuck is this guy? He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I beheaded him.
And he actually is that kind of cute. He's like, I don't care if it pisses you off. I'm having fun.
And then he's so funny. My dear. And then she's, how could you? And then the next scene, when she goes to her dad, she complains about it. And then Sultan stops it all cute. He's like, Jafar, you need to tell me before you behead people. Naughty, naughty.
We then cut to the dungeon where Aladdin is.
Where Aladdin is?
What's okay?
Not beheaded. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, he's like he's trapped. Both him and Abu are trapped in Aladdin. He's sort of thinking about the situation. He's like, she was the princess. I must have sounded so stupid to her.
Aw, he's so cute.
And he's trying to get out, but then there's this old guy in the dungeon who's like, boy, let's get some fucking money. And then they,
you know, the golden rule, don't you? Yeah. Whoever makes the gold makes the rule.
And he does that creepy smile. Anyway, this is weird guy. I think at this point it is revealed to the audience that it is in fact Jafar, when
because Iago comes out of his hump.
I love the name Iago. I wish that was my name.
It's a Shakespearean thing.
So they both escape from the dungeon and they walk toward the Cave of Wonders, because of course Jafar is trying to get Aladdin to the Cave of Wonders so he can get him to the lamp, because he is the diamond in the rough, which is never explained, by the way, why Aladdin is the diamond in the rough.
Because he's nice to poor kids sometimes, even though he's kind of.
But he's the one. I mean, he's the one person who does that.
It's Neo. He is the unremarkable white dude, even though he's
everybody
not white.
In Agrabah does not do this except for Aladdin.
Is it nice sometimes? And it's super cute.
Yeah. So I don't know also what Aladdin expects to get from this deal, because like I feel like he understands the rules that once he enters the Cave of Wonders, he cannot touch any of the gold besides the lamp. But Jafar promises him all of the treasure besides the lamp. I don't know what Aladdin is trying to get from this.
When he says, "Bring me the lamp, and then you shall have your reward." So I think he's going to get a big payoff. But he should have been more particular about the terms. Aladdin is not, he's the diamond in the rough. He is the Neo, the one, but he is not.
Right, he's the one for giving out bread, not for making money.
Right.
Right. That's a very good point.
Not someone you bring to for contract negotiations, someone you bring to for mystical the one situation.
So Aladdin has a mission to go into the Cave of Wonders and find the magic lamp. He does. He kind of meanders around. He stumbles onto a magic carpet, which is a carpet that kind of flies around and has a fun personality.
And it's kind of an important plot point sometimes when we need to shortcut stuff, which I appreciate. I like that.
Great. If you're a screenwriter, having a magic carpet is always handy.
So Abu is the one who fucks shit up, though.
Yeah, because Abu's such a fucking ass. Anyway, yeah. They eventually do get the lamp, but then, oh no, Abu, you touched the diamond! No! And then he touches the lamp, and then the Cave of Wonder goes, you touched the treasure, I'm gonna kill you! And then the cave starts crumbling around, and then they have to escape, but thankfully the magic carpet is there to help him out, and then we see some of the bad CGI that does have some badly compressed textures, and you start to get pixelated.
Fun level in the Sega Genesis Aladdin, which I tried to play the other day, but I forgot how fucking hard that game is.
How did we even get to the level? It's so hard.
It's so hard. It is hard to get through the market. Level one. Do you know how many times I played?
Anyway, well, it's hard for you.
Yes. And my friend David.
Who is not a gamer. Can I do the song? Can I do the song that plays?
Please.
It's great. Anyway, so Aladdin, they're flying. They're about to escape the Cave of Wonders, but oh no, a rock hits the carpet and Aladdin crushes onto the stairs and he's hanging on the edge. He's almost about to escape and he's like, "Jafar, give me your hand. I can almost escape." But Jafar goes, "Give me the lamp." He goes, "Give me your hand. First, give me the lamp." And so he stretches it out. He gives him the lamp. Jafar goes, "Ha ha, now you shall have your reward."
Wait, can I do that, son?
Yes.
"You shall have your reward. Your eternal reward." And then he takes his knife out and says he's gonna stab him! But then what, Michael?
Abu bites him, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, Abu bites his hand, and then Aladdin and Abu go crumbling down. They fall into the Cave of Wonders as the cave collapses, and they're stuck. And that's the end of the film. So what are we doing next week? Haha.
That was such a weird ending to
that. That was such a weird ending. This is a
too bad they didn't do a whole new world.
This is that's stupid. Yeah, they're famous for that.
And no Robin Williams. That was weird.
Yeah, he was in the marketing and everything.
Anyway, oh, Michael, the movie goes on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was a great bit. So what happens next?
So they're down in the cave, and Aladdin goes, "Oh, you two-faced son of a jackal!"
Very cute insult.
Very cute. I actually weirdly remember too much of some of the scenes right before the song because I used to watch the sing-alongs as a kid, and it's like just ingrained in my
memory. What's the difference between a sing-along and just the real movie where you sing along?
Not much, but that you just watch the 1 minute preceding the song instead of the whole movie.
So it's just a part of the film?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. With subtitles and a bouncing Mickey Mouse head, I bet.
That was very fun.
Yeah.
So, but then Michael, Abu got the lamp.
But it's just a rusted old piece of junk. That's not really useful.
Which is like, it looks so shiny and pretty. Make it more rusted looking.
Right. You had the control over that, artist.
So he's like, "Oh, but there's something right here, but I can't make it out." And he rubs it, rubs it to make it out. And what happens? We meet the genie and it's Robin Williams.
Do you want to talk about why you think it's the best Robin Williams?
I honestly just kind of think animation is a really good vehicle for his stand-up. Like, sometimes his erratic way of stand-up is almost a little off-putting to watch in person. Watching an animation is just such a perfect medium for that.
Right. I mean, it's not like it just, oh, they happen to animate some of his stuff. Like, it's, I mean, they both worked really hard to just create, like, just put all of my Robin Williams essence, just filter it down into the best of it could be, and then animate it.
You know? It's so perfect. So, I also, can we just,
I don't even think it's controversial to say it's the best.
No. What a perfect commercial product this is, because like it has so many adult jokes, and not just adult in like the ooh way, like adult like in jokes there's no way kids get, like the Groucho Marx jokes and the pretty much most of the Robin Williams stand up.
But who's the Heather's celebrity that he impersonates? No, Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, yeah.
Right. You can see why I'd be confused.
But how much did we love it as kids anyway?
Like, because it's just silly voices. We like silly voices as kids.
Right. So anyway, 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Oh, God. Anyway, it's all great. So then he introduced himself to Aladdin via song and Friend Like Me, which was great.
To establish also, that the genie is magical. Yeah. Very good. Very good tune.
And Aladdin totally makes out with a hot girl in the song, which is weird.
That's not weird.
Isn't he in love with Princess Jasmine?
You can make out with girls when you're in love. That's a rule.
I guess, I mean,
they're
sure
not committed.
He's a diamond in the rough. He should be better than that.
That's just a bread thing. It's different.
It's just a bread related
it's thing. Like a bread. The Lionhead is like, yeah, he's just like really good with the bread. He can do it. He's polyamorous. That's fine. I don't judge. That was a lot of cut dialogue from the Lionhead.
That was weird. Okay. Oh, so then he establishes the three rules of wishing. First, no wishing for no wishes.
That seems like a fourth rule.
That does seem like a fourth rule. Rule number one. He
can't kill anybody.
So don't ask. Rule number two. He can't make anyone fall in love with each other. And rule number three, he can't bring people back from the dead, which he does a Peter Lorre impression, which is also like an old movie thing.
Which is just a subtle way to slip us that second rule, that he can't make Jasmine fall in love. Aladdin, because he's just such a card, he does not wish to get out of the cave. Instead, he's like, Abu, let's trick the genie into getting us out of the cave without wishing, which is like... Again, as an adult, you think like, so the genie just can do whatever he wants. It seems like he doesn't have to wish, but to like save Aladdin's life later, he did have to make it a wish. Anyway, they trick, just because it's fun, they trick the genie into letting them out of the cave, but not use up one of their wishes.
Excuse me, did you rub my lamp? Did you bring me here? It's so great.
The logic of it makes no sense, but it's fun.
God, we get so many like weird Disney cameos in this movie where like the Sultan.
Yeah, Aladdin.
Marbles. And then the next bit when he's in the Oasis, Pinocchio comes up. Sebastian from Little Mermaid with the Little Mermaid riff.
Well, I mean, yeah, if they're getting like 5 hours of Robin Williams, but like four of those hours are like him making adult jokes. And 1 hour was like the Little Mermaid crab. They're like, well, I guess we have to do the crab one.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense. So they're in this little oasis and she's like, oh, I feel sheepish, but no more freebies. So Michael, we've established he can't do it anymore without wishing.
He could. He just doesn't want to. That seems like the tone of that statement.
It's fine. So he's like, well, what do you want? And Aladdin's like, but what do you want, genie? He's like, oh, if only I could be free because I'm a prisoner to this. He's like, cool. Okay, you know what? I'll just make two wishes and then I'll set you free. Great. So then he's like, all right, what do you really want? Well, there's this girl. Excuse me. Can't make people fall in love with each other.
Which would have been fucked up if Aladdin was like, well, there's this girl. Make her fall in love with me. That would have been fucked up.
Thank you, movie, for not allowing that to happen.
Sheena was like, you can't wish for that. So just don't go there.
So he's like, hey, can you make me a prince? Which would make me also not lying later when I say I'm a prince because I just wish to be a prince, yeah. But it's fine.
Make me a pretend prince. So then Aladdin marches up to Agrabah, to the palace, not as Aladdin, as Prince Ali, as they sing the song, Prince Ali, establishing that he is now a prince. He's got this huge parade. He's got Abu as an elephant now, because Genie turned him into an elephant, and 40 bakers.
Michael, tell me what you texted me about that.
Oh, just like, no one asked Abu, like, hey, can I turn you into an elephant? Is this okay with you? They just do it, and Aladdin's like, huh, that's fun now, you're that. And Abu's like, this is my body. And then they just move on. Like, what an invasive, horrible, that's his life.
Also, the song Prince Ali has, if you haven't seen this movie in a while, has more Macy's Day, Thanksgiving Day parade jokes than you might think.
Than you might think for our children.
You're right.
That's weird with
90s era Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade joke.
This is not an insult, but it's funny how I feel like Robin Williams has the most sing time of any character. And he's not a singer. He sounds great. I mean, that's not an insult at all. I think he's a lovely singer, but
he's not a singer.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, they get to the palace. We have not established that Jafar has come up with an evil plan. Because he is worried, when Jasmine marries her prince, Jasmine doesn't like Jafar. She's going to have us thrown out, or worse, beheaded. So he's like, wait a minute. I'll become her husband. I'll make Jasmine marry me, and I will become the sultan.
Merry the Shrew.
And also, it's not really brought up, but he does have a magical staff that makes people do whatever you want. Which is
he only uses it on the Sultan. He never tries to use it on anyone.
It's possibly a stormtrooper scenario where they're just weak-minded. So you can kind of force them to do whatever you want.
That might be the situation.
Anyway, so Jafar is so happy that his plan is going to work out because he has convinced the Sultan that, it's in the rule book that the royal vizier, because there's only three people at the palace at all times. So sort of.
Yeah, Michael! Even when Prince Ali marches into the palace, there's nobody there.
So it's sort of a process of elimination, because the dad can't marry her, so it's got to be just the one other person there. So Jafar is excited to marry the princess, except he's meeting Prince Ali, who he hilariously refers to as Prince Abu Abu.
Oh, my favorite part of that scene is when Jafar's like, oh, I don't know about this guy. And the song goes, I'm an excellent judge of character.
Very fun.
There's some very funny scenes in this.
Yeah, the movie could take the shit out of the salt. It's fine. Anyway, so they're all bickering about who should marry the princess. Like, I will win your daughter. Funny thing, Jasmine comes up from the other side of the room. She hears this conversation, and she's like, how dare you? I am not some prize to be won. I'm a person. Which is a theme of the movie, I guess.
Kind of.
I mean, they were into that in the 90s. The women are people thing.
Yeah.
They're still into that.
I mean, not too much. Like, let's not get crazy.
They're around.
So then later, to prove that he thinks she's a person, he decides to just go to her balcony without...
Yeah, just go into a room at night.
although, earlier is also one of my favorite lines. Is when he's like, what should I do, Genie? He's like, just be yourself, man. Tell her the truth. I bet she'll be into it, which makes sure.
Yeah.
And then he says, if I tell her the truth, she'll just laugh at me. And Genie goes, a woman likes a man who can make her laugh.
That's a very good line. And then he laughs. I don't even think it was a funny line. I just love the way he says it.
I know. But he's like, no, I'm not good. I'm just going to keep lying. I'm going to double down. It's going to be great. So he goes to the balcony. And for some reason, she's into him just saying exactly what she said to him earlier when he goes, you're right, you're not just...
After saying all the wrong things, he goes, fuck, you know what? All right, okay, you win, you're a person. And she's like, whoa.
Oh my God, you get Wait, it. You're whoa.
Oh my God. I was just kidding before, but you're right.
And then he jumps off the balcony, just like, how are you doing that? It's like, how do you get up there in the first place?
This is like basically the modern day equivalent, like, okay, you're disrespectful to me, you don't have to treat me as a person. I'm gonna go, holy fuck, that's a cool car.
But
it is a cool car.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Michael, you're telling me someone hot as hell, like Aladdin, comes to you with a magic carpet? You're not going to get on that fucking magic carpet?
But I would do it without the protesting. You know, it's like, I'll be a person later. You know, the next guy will come along, treat me nice. I'll just have fun now.
So then the best song ever.
It's a fucking good song.
I feel like we watched this a long time ago with our brother John, who, that guy.
Ugh, can't stand him.
So brother, and he was like so mad about the mechanics of magic carpet travel.
Yeah, there's no fuel. What's the problem?
The problem was how fast they would have to go to get. Oh,
there's no railings.
Whereas, like the amount of or the speed they would have to go to be in Egypt and China in one night would just be untenable. And the atmosphere is so thin above the clouds. How could they just be there? This is real stuff he said to us, like, when we were kids.
What a nerd.
Anyway, but that's the best song ever.
It is a good song. It's weird.
But at the end of it, she... By the way, I think it was clearly from the beginning she had figured out who he was, but she just wanted to get on that fucking carpet. No judgment, Jeff.
No judgment. You got it. When you have an opportunity for carpet, you take it.
For carpet with a hottie.
Well, yeah.
Let's not... So, then what happened?
Then they're chilling in China. She's like, oh, man, this is so great. Wish Abu could have seen this. And Aladdin's like, nah, he hates fireworks. No shit! No! And then he has to reveal. It's like, oh, he could tell the truth. Except he goes, oh, okay, yeah, that was me in the market. But... I really am a prince. I just gotta pretend I'm not. Sometimes I just pretend I'm a normal person. Sounds crazy, right? But she did that earlier. So she's like, not that.
Isn't that
crazy.
The worst line, though, when he's like, royalty dress the cover? Doesn't that sound crazy? But he knows she did that.
They're playing along. It's fine. They're playing.
I mean, I feel like she knows he's full of shit, but she's like, I don't have a lot of options here.
What's her ride home, you know?
Yeah, that as well.
She's not going to say anything because of the implication.
yeah, exactly. So she drops her off. They're in love. But then he gets kidnapped by... Jafar's guards and gets
it's weird
thrown.
That during the kidnap Jafar wasn't like, haha, I got you. Why are you sleeping here, by the way? That he's just in the backyard of the palace.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about it.
So yeah. And then the genie wakes up, he's like, you gotta wish to be free because for some reason
that wasn't a rule earlier, but it is a rule now. I'm just gonna pretend you wished it because that's a thing I can just do. To just take up one of your wishes. I could have done that earlier. I could have taken up your wish. Because you didn't say wish that time either.
But how cute is their friendship?
There's a bit of a homophobic joke in there, right?
I'm real funny, kid. Not like I want to pick out curtains or anything. That's the joke.
Yeah.
Get it? Because that's what gay people do.
Too bad.
Anyway.
It's weird. It's weird how I love their friendship, but the movie doesn't not spend that much. I mean, the movie goes by so fast. It's not like there's that much screen time with them together. I'm just impressed by how well they're characterized that I care about them so much.
Very Star Wars situation there.
Yeah, totally.
We love the characters and the relationship so much, even though...
Right, the Star Wars characters who basically just did one thing together, and you're like, man, what a lifetime of adventure that was for some reason, because they just did it so well.
What a solid friendship I'm witnessing.
I've seen the whole thing. No more. I don't need any more.
He escapes and he goes to the palace. He's like, Jafar tried to be, how charming is he when Jafar comes and is like, oh, I guess he's dead forever. And he goes,
better check your crystal ball again, Jafar.
And then Jafar notices Aladdin has the lamp. Shit. And then he uses just like a poof thing like magicians do.
Like, yeah, he already has so much magic. He's got a magic staff. He's got a magic fucking storm thing. Like, anything the plot needs him to have, he just always has it.
But then the worst part of the movie. So they want to make Aladdin Sultan, and he's being all insecure about it. So he's like, genie, I can't let you free because you're the only reason I'm the way I am, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
He has no wishes left.
Doesn't make any sense. Right. What would the genie be able to do?
Nothing.
It's so
like
dumb.
Around, I guess. And they're just fighting. And again, Michael, to your point, you just feel it. You're like,
oh, what a hard, difficult time this is for like, both our loving
each other. Like, dick. Poor Genie.
And we're making fun, but you do. Yeah, you do feel it.
Oh, I just feel tense thinking about it.
I love how they establish early in the film that Iago can do Jasmine impressions. Like, they didn't do that as a joke. That was actually foreshadowing, like, this is a plot thing that can happen and that will affect the plot later on.
Which I did not see coming.
As an 8-year-old, yeah.
Right. So yeah, Iago, and you know, impersonates Jasmine. He goes out, for some reason leaves his hat, which seems very important to him usually, but he leaves it behind.
I mean, we say that. If we had a lamp all the time, I'm sure at some point we would forget about it.
That's fair. So Iago gets the lamp. So Jafar has the lamp now. And he calls him slave, which is so rude.
You know, for a villain, he is just so mean.
I'm mean.
Can I say this? Can I say pesky, maybe? And then Genie pops up. He goes, you know, Aladdin, you're not him.
I love also the way he says, I shouldn't like it, but I like that he says slave, which is a one syllable word in like four syllables.
Because he's so mean. He's got extra evil syllables in there.
Slave.
Yeah, I feel like I might be rushing, but essentially, Jafar just says, hey, Genie, I wish to become a sultan. I wish to become really powerful. I'm going to sing about how...
the most powerful sorcerer in the world.
How can I forget? I'm going to reveal to Jasmine that you are not Prince Ali, even though you did wish that's what you should be, but you are, in fact, Aladdin in a very great reprise. And then I'm going to...
Prince Ali, yes, it is he, but not as you know him.
And then I'm going to banish him to some place where it's snowing. It's snowing.
The end of the earth, so it's probably north or south.
So it's probably like, yeah, I mean, they can fly very far in the carpet, though.
Real fast.
So then he's banished. Take it. Popcorn clean.
Oh, yeah, I got popcorned. But he manages to get back kind of with no problem at all.
Like, I really do like the scene where he's like, you know, I screwed everything up. Come on, we got to face this problem together. He doesn't go searching for the carpet. What he does is he picks up Abu and he just starts walking. He's like, I'll just walk back. And it's just like, you're awesome, Aladdin. You're just like, I'm just going to go. There's no problem. They're like, oh, how am I going to get there? I'm so worried. He's like, no, I got to go fix the problem. Here I go. And then he stumbles onto the carpet, which is like an actual real solution to the problem.
Right. Because he has no shoes and bare chested.
But just what a fucking bro. He's like, I'll just walk over there. I'll just walk back.
Walk fucking home. Good shit. So back at the palace, Jafar has put Jasmine in a somehow sexier outfit. Didn't know that was possible.
Didn't know. Yeah, but it was.
It was. But now he has another wish, Michael. Yeah. What do you think that wish would be?
Bro, you are rushing it. First, Aladdin. First. So Jafar is just loving his time, being the best, being the Sultan, being a powerful sorcerer. He's got a Jasmine, is like making out with her. He's got the Sultan being fed crackers by Iago. They're all having a fun time, but the Jasmine sees, wow. Aladdin is back.
No, I was doing it right because he wishes first. Remember, he says, I wish for Princess Jasmine.
Oh, yes, you're right. Okay, sorry.
In love with me.
Sorry.
And then he does his whole bit with the proviso.
You're right.
And
sorry.
Yeah. And then, but then Jasmine sees Aladdin and she's like, oh, Jafar, I never realized how incredibly handsome you are.
I didn't do it this time, but it is fun to listen to all the things Jasmine actually says about Jafar in her sexy voice.
So, your beard is so
twisted. Anyway, so then Jafar sees Aladdin and he's like, haha, I see you. And Aladdin's trying to do whatever, but Jafar's got some puns up his sleeve and he's dishing them out like crazy.
Like when he does it to the badge garbage, things are unraveling fast.
Yo, let's see how snake-like I could be. That's barely a pun. That's barely a pun. You're just saying I am a snake.
He turns the monkey into a toy. He says, don't toy with me.
You think I am a snake? Well, I am one. That's my clever bit. Here's the end of the film. Aladdin comes up one last Hail Mary. He goes, you know, Jafar, you know what? Okay, you're powerful, but You'll always be second best. The genie is the most powerful thing ever. You're always going to be second best to him. And Jafar goes, you're right. And genie's like, well, what are you doing? Come on, what are you doing? I wish to become the most powerful genie ever. And then he becomes a genie. And Aladdin goes, hey, you want your wish, Jafar? You got it. And then Jafar goes, what? And then it turns out that there's a lamp now because he is a genie. And Jafar's getting like the wristbands, you know, on him. He's got the genie wristbands. And then he's being sucked into the lamp. And Aladdin goes, infinite cosmic power. Itty-bitty living space. As Jafar is wrapped up into the lamp. And the day is saved thanks to Aladdin.
That is amazing. And then what? But that's not it, Michael. That's not the end of the film.
Just, okay. Oh boy, here's the emotional part. Aladdin goes, all right, well, now it's time for Genie. I'm going to set you free. And Genie goes, no, you could wish to be a prince. Jasmine, yeah, you want to marry her? This is real love. You guys love each other. Don't free me.
Wait, can I pause?
Yeah.
So I just pulled up the script.
Of the film?
Jafar and Jasmine. So he goes, now, pussycat.
Great line.
Self, you're tall.
Just like the most made up compliments.
Well dressed. Oh, is that? That's the only thing. Oh, and then Genie goes, I work for psychos. So you've seen your psychopath now. Oh, and that's all they have in the script. So it must have all been improvised. And then the beard is so twisted. That's it.
So yeah,
there's other stuff in the background.
Back to the scene.
Sorry.
Aladdin's like, I'm going to set you free. Genie's like, no, this is real love. And Aladdin goes, Genie, I can't go on pretending something I'm not, which is weird. He should be going, well, slavery is bad. I'm sad that you're a slave. That's the real issue. But he goes, no. I can't do that because I can't be someone I'm not. I can't be pretending anymore.
Me, bro.
And then he goes, I wish you were free. And then Genie goes, one prince coming up. What? And Aladdin goes, Genie, you're free. And
but how good is that scene?
It makes me cry just thinking about it, honestly.
And then he goes, wish for something. Wish for something crazy. Say, I wish for the Nile. I wish for the Nile. No way!
What does that even mean? I wish for the Nile. What would you get?
Exactly. It's impossible.
This podcast is like 9 hours long. Yeah, and then, but the Sultan is like, oh, so it's too bad he can't marry. Actually, he can't because I'm the Sultan. So that was resolved pretty easily.
It feels like that could have been resolved earlier.
That was a great film discussion. We really went through it really well. Good job, us. Now we're going to go to the part of the show where we call our brother John in a segment we call Bro Call. Did the lights become less off? Okay.
What's that?
I just saw your dark room become like even more dark. I was like, okay, doesn't matter. John, welcome to the show. I think you're listening. This is a segment we call Bro Call. What do you think of the film?
Hello, everyone. What film are we discussing? I'm unclear.
You've been on the call the whole time and you've looked very bored. What do you think of the film Aladdin?
I've only barely been listening.
Okay.
One of my cats is currently under a treadmill. I have so many questions. Right, Aladdin. So generally, you'd expect me to say something snarky and, you know, kind of dig on this movie. But, I mean, it's just genuinely enjoyable. There's not that much you can say. Obviously, I'm a huge Robin Williams fan. He brings it so hard in this movie. Honestly, I can't think of a movie where he's bad. He's just so much energy. Jafar is great. I am hashtag Team Jafar. Well, clearly he should have won in the end. He would have been really good for that kingdom. I mean, all-powerful sorcerer, lead me up. Clearly he had a better sense of government and the legal code. Had the respect of the actual, you know, officers of the state.
Oh my God, Michael, we didn't talk about the part where he goes to the Sultan and he's like, oh, according to statute, if she can't marry Prince, she has to marry the royal vizier. He's like, really? Like, yeah, you should fucking know that, man.
We talked about that scene. We did talk about the scene where Jasmine's like, I'm going to marry for love. And the Sultan just wanders off. He's like, her mother was never this picky. That's a good line.
That's a good line. But clearly this government has issues. So clearly they need to go on merit rather than their old ways. So hashtag Team Jafar for life.
I mean, I want to disagree with you, John, but there's only like three other people in the whole palace, so there's not a lot of options, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird kingdom, isn't it? Kingdom of Agrabah. I was always watching this as a kid, wondering, like, where the hell is this supposed to be? Because it's in the middle of a desert. Yes, as a kid, I was like this. Middle of the desert, but it's got a lot of, like, weird Indian and, like, Oriental and Chinese, like, symbology in the kingdom.
They throw him into an ocean near the palace.
Oh, yeah, and there's, like, ice nearby. They go to Egypt and China overnight.
There isn't ice nearby, John. That's when he gets banished to the ends of the earth.
Sure, and then he comes back in, like, 2 minutes.
It's fine.
Yeah, I always had questions about that, and it always kind of threw me off when watching this movie, and not to mention the dynamics of flying on a magic carpet. I mean, come on.
It's unrealistic. I mean, how could they stay on?
I totally heard you guys talking to me about that part. But it was only later in life that I actually, like, read into the history of the Arabian Nights tales, and I found them deeply fascinating. Because did Sam cover the Arabian Nights at all?
No.
So the tales of the Arabian Nights were actually compiled for the first time in written form by a Frenchman.
She did say that.
Yeah.
The Arabian Nights are actually something of a product of colonialism and imperialism. And a bunch
kind
of
like this movie.
Well, I mean, yes, definitely. But a bunch of the stories that we really identify with Arabian Nights, like Aladdin, are not in the original Arabian Nights, the oral tale.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, so it's argued about who actually came up with Aladdin, but it's possible that it's a figment of a Frenchman traveling through Syria's imagination.
That actually makes sense to me because, so, sorry, we can cut this out if it gets too long, but the conceit, like the whole overarching narration of the 1001 Arabian Nights is this, like, savage Middle Easterner who his wife cheats on him and he's so mad at women. So he kills the original wife and then he just has people bring virgins to him over and over that he sleeps with one night and then kills the next day. So he finally gets this one woman who is like, I have an idea. So she tells half a story at night. Mm-hmm. And then next day tells the rest of half a story and then tells the half of a new story. And then those tales are the 1001 Arabian Night tales.
Of course, that's definitely the one story that really is in the Arabian Nights, the original Arabian Nights, because the story of Scheherazade is the defining, like, the keystone story of even the oral tradition. So you're right, but also.
Right. It also just sort of feels like the way a Frenchman would think of Middle Eastern tales.
Yeah, but it helps to place Agrabah in the story of Aladdin because, I mean, really, it's an Oriental tale as seen by a European, which means that it's not really the Middle East. It's really the greater Islamic world, which covered Western China, India.
Aladdin's story was originally Chinese.
There's Chinese elements, it's suggested. It's not really known where it's supposed to be because it's not really supposed to be anywhere. We think it's the Arabia. We think it's the Middle East because it's desert and that's the first song. But it doesn't have to be that.
Disney made a choice.
The kind of architecture of that palace seems very specific to something, is it?
Yeah, it's what's that called? Byzantine is the architecture.
That is not Byzantine architecture.
I don't know anything, John. No. We don't say Oriental anymore. That's what I do know.
Because Oriental can mean a lot of things. Generally, it's meant to mean Asian, as far as I can understand it.
Well, yeah, but it's like an offensive old person way of saying Asia.
Sure.
Do you know the answer to that question, John? Like, what is that palace reminiscent of?
The Taj Mahal.
So
that's
India.
What I always thought of when I looked at it. Yeah, but Muslim India.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what I'm really building here, too, is that I celebrate Will Smith's entire career, and I think this is a great continuation of that.
John, what do you grade this film?
I'll give it an A.
Okay. John,
perfect.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Michael, what do you grade this film?
A+, because I love it, and I love it. And those are the two reasons why I give it an A+.
So I'm going to give it an A+, because it's the best film ever, and I love it. It's not the best film ever, but I love it. And I just can't... I know its flaws so well, but I love this movie.
I don't know. For me, I discover a new flaw every time.
Well, that's true. Yeah, there are probably still flaws I'm overlooking, but I love
right.
It.
Next time we see it, we'll see something new. Who are we sponsored by this week?
Oh fuck, I lost my copy. Do you have one? Who
yeah. are we sponsored by? Yeah, we're sponsored by Holiday Inn. Don't stay there now. Don't stay in your homes. But when this is all over, we'll go to Holiday Inn. What's our next film?
Oh, let me check. Let me boot it up here. It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Whoa. I'm surprised by new information. I cannot wait to see that next week. Stay ahead for the trailer. And...
Cut.
You don't know what this is, do you? Aztec gold. The heathen gods placed upon the gold a terrible curse. 10 years we've searched. Every last piece we have found, save for this.
Hello, Bobby.
They've taken Elizabeth.
Welcome aboard the Black Pearl.
We must save her.
Where do we start?
Jack Sparrow. He talked about the Black Pearl. Make a deal with him. He can lead us to it.
You forget your place. You are a blacksmith.
If you spring me from this cell, I shall take you to the Black Pearl and your bonny lass.
You're a pirate.
Forgot one very important thing, mate. I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Not sure I deserve that. You're not facing normal pirates. Cruel, demented, vicious pirates, to be certain.
Say goodbye! Goodbye.
But cruel, demented, vicious pirates who cannot be killed.
The moonlight shows us for what we really are.
That's interesting. We are cursed men.
I hardly believe in ghost stories anymore.
You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner.
You're in one. Chance you all remember Captain Jack Sparrow. Kill him.
I'm gonna teach you the meaning of pain.
You like pain? Try wearing a corset.
Here they come.
Of the Caribbean, the curse of the Black Pearl.
I may have deserved it.